said nigga, white people.
They always try to make it like everybody's after the white.
And I said nigga, white people. I didn't say nigger. Two different motherfucking words.
This is the great Eddie Griffin, y'all. I'm going to play about maybe a minute and a half of it, and then we'll kick off the episode. It's going to be a long one. It's going to be over an hour, so enjoy it whenever you get time to listen to it. Appreciate it.
That girl part will get you fucked up. Nigger, sound like you're growling at me. Feel a rope around my neck.
And them motherfuckers got the audacity to get mad because they can't say it. What was that white bitch? Dr. Lord, that stank bitch. All on the news talking about nigger, 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 nigger. I said, where's a nigger to smack this bitch? Well, why can't I say it? Bitch, did your people ever get put into slavery? Did a motherfucker oppress you for 450 years and counting, motherfucker? Well, you ain't earned the right to say that word. You understand me? We all got words we can't say. They act like it's only us. You understand me? Every culture's got their word. Mexicans can call each other beaners. You go over there and say that shit and not get your ass cut. Italians call each other guinea wops. So I'm saying, everybody got their shit. Y'all was concerned with what a nigga saying. I can't say nigger. You sure can't, motherfucker. You know what I mean? That's like me going to a Klan rally. How you crackers doing? And expect not to get hung the fuck up. We killing so much of each other, we done put the Klan out of business. That's why you don't see the Klan no more. They like, well, damn it, we used to hang one darkie a week. They're doing 15 every 15 minutes. Take your sheets off, it's all over. We're gonna have to call ourselves the Tea Party.
The great Eddie Griffin, y'all. Enjoy the episode and have a safe but great week. And we'll holler at y'all soon.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Hope you enjoyed your day. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thanks. Happy Sunday.
Peace, y'all. About to go watch these games. Thanks for listening. Love my family, to any of my family that's listening. I love all of y'all. I love the shit out of all of y'all. You know what I'm saying? Peace. Peace. Guess how much this was, a king size Reese's cup and a Tahitian treat. Tahitian treat, not a bottle, a can.
$6.32
for one king size Reese's cup and one can of Tahitian treat. $6.32. That's ridiculous. I don't care if you're rich. A candy bar and a can of soda is $6.32.
Right.
That's ridiculous. I should have been able to come out there with three Reese's cups and three Tahitian treats for $6.32. Ugh.
It's like the only spot.
Love you.
I love you.
Okay, fries will be done in like 10 minutes. Okay.
Right, Charlie? 10 minutes. Watching.
Okay. Hold on, man. That shit's crazy as hell. What did you say, baby?
That street was totally gentrified.
What was that? Palmer and Vine?
Yeah.
And as soon as you said that, there was a white man and a white lady, like, carrying, like, a suitcase out the house.
Yeah. It's probably an Airbnb.
Like, right? Ooh, we should drive through there again. That shit was crazy. I want to get some snacks somewhere, though. I got some money on a PayPal I'll use just for the snacks.
Why can't I find the park?
Well, we can just let them out wherever.
Yeah. These places are expensive, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just looking around, like, I don't want to move at all.
This whole area is gentrified.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. First and Vine. This used to be the hood a little bit.
It's like there's our apartment and like the park is above it.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I not seeing it?
Yeah, they're taking over this.
Like, I wonder how much that house costs.
Which one?
Right here.
This one on Palmer and Vine. Shit, it's for sale too. Damn. We should look that house up.
We should get the address.
No, we should see how much it is now and then see what it was like maybe like 50 years ago.
And you can see that.
You know what I mean?
The sale history.
And just see like the downslide of it. And then just see the white takeover, how they took it over. And I'm not saying white like.
Do they have a stop sign?
Yeah. Okay. I mean it, cause you know, every single white, there's a lot of white people over. They are taking over this area. It's no shot. We're just driving through here and we're just saying like, cause baby, this, I used to be through here a lot. Like when we used to, I mean up just a, you know, a couple blocks from here over there in Hillside when they used to take over, us over the pass all the time back in the day. It was 88% black over here. Now it's like,
you go one block over.
Yep, like we're on Brown now. But look, even Brown, like, look.
How am I missing the park?
These houses are looking decent over here. This whole fucking row of cribs. You can see this one still is shitty. 302 is shitty.
These are Habitat houses.
See?
Because you can tell, like, the way they're built.
Yep,
they're
see, like, that's a white lady homes over there with two, one of them big poodles. They better stop. See how they'll be wanting. See, that's what I'll be hating with these bike people. They don't want to obey the rules sometimes. They're ready to go right through that stop sign.
Yeah.
But then expect us to stop when you're in the car. I bet people get raped and shit over here.
Like, where's the fucking park? Shouldn't it be, like, right there?
It should be. We just came through here, though. The park is gone. Oh, the park? You want to go back that way? We got to get back on Holden. Go to the park. Charlie's like, man, can we find somewhere where there's a little gas station or something? Or like a car. I want to grab
like the park should be like.
What's
right
the
here?
La Village? Community co-working child care. La Village. Yeah, we're just going this way. Shoe Works, what's that? Like, there's a lot of little, and that's the thing, sometimes, like, these businesses, I feel like their storefront signs should be bigger.
I know
that shit would be costing a lot of money, but, like, sometimes you'll drive past a business that's open and everything, but the sign is just so small, you'll go right past it.
Let's see the gentrification of this street.
The gentrification of this street. Ooh, there's a cardinal flies over the car. That's nice, because they're supposed to be protective.
Habitat houses.
Oh, you know they're taking care. Wherever you see a bunch of speed bumps too, where they're like every fucking 20 feet, you know they don't want no bullshit. Because that's where they think Lil Ray Ray's coming through speeding. When in reality, like I told you the other day, when I was driving past through UWM on the way to get you, I came from Culver's. It was a white girl, college girl. Her name was probably Her name was probably Samantha. Sam for short. She was flying behind me. I looked up. She was like on my ass. I was like, damn, like, but you know, Samantha, excessive speeds or reckless drive. She was reckless driving.
So then here's non-gentrification.
This is non-gentrification.
Well, they're working on it.
And come back in about 3 years. Oh, they got somebody pulled over here though, because right here now it's the hood where it's all good.
Right.
It is. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you though. I feel more comfortable in the hood. Oh, that's a Latin dude that got pulled over. Here comes the second one. Yeah. I feel more comfortable in the hood. I don't give a hell what's going on than I do out in. What's somewhere way up, kind of? Way up north, kind of. Like. Superior.
Hudson.
I'm gonna feel nervous about getting pulled over by a cop, right? Or having some white person out there like just not, like, I ain't even gonna say call me the N-word, but just
looking,
just being just
like,
all that,
like, what is he doing?
Because at least in the city I know, like, you know what I'm saying, people ain't thinking of me that way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I end up getting robbed or some shit, like, that's just,
right,
you know, like that type. But I'm the energy ain't foul. Yeah, dude was he's just walking around just like, oh, that's a community garden right there. Mm-hmm. Nice.
I thought about doing that.
That, yeah. Oh, although, we could have went to this park, baby.
That's where I'm gonna go.
Can we go to the little gas station?
Yeah.
I'm going to go in there and grab like a...
We'll hit that up first.
Yep.
And then we'll come here.
Yeah. And then go home and chill and watch the games.
I was trying to figure out like where that was compared to the apartment.
Yeah.
And I was getting like turned around.
Mm-hmm.
Closet Classics. It's been there fucking forever.
Hell yeah. They should be the first place to get the weed shop. I'll be right back. You want anything, baby?
No.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a Rascal Clubs when COVID had came, but I think maybe because we're getting older, clubs, like, those are such a distant thing in our future. It's like maybe in our minds, they're not really a thing anymore. And then when COVID came through and all that was shut down and all that, I was like, oh, ain't clubs are really a wrap. Just because of all the gap, you know, how close you are to people in clubs and stuff like that.
Right.
I thought it was a super wrap for all that, but then,
No. And then
so that came back kind of?
Yeah. And then there's that club Timbuktu. That's on Center as well.
What's that one?
I've
heard of it. Is that a do they play like live music and stuff in there?
They play live music.
Wait.
And I think it's more catered to hip hop, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that the one on Humboldt?
No, it's on Center.
There's another one that is right off of Humboldt. I went to a couple of times because we had a holiday, like a Christmas party back there. This was when I was at Hotel Metro when it was a thing. Anyways, the gig, it's like ducked off, right?
Oh.
I don't even know. I mean, this had to have been fucking over 20
years. It's over by Miles.
Yeah, that was almost 20 years ago.
Oh, that's
ago.
Still there.
It was a pretty chill place when we went there. It felt just super east side is chill. It wasn't like... It didn't feel like one of them like uppity kind of River West bar. It was totally chill. Yeah, it was a holiday party, Christmas party. Because we had the Christmas party in the basement of Rock Bottom. And then afterwards, people went over to the gig thing. Yeah, because they had a big-ass pool table when you walk in. Not when you walk in, but they had, like, a pool table. Like, it was chilling. And they had couches around it. The music was cool and shit.
I love playing pool.
You know? The bar was small, but not too small.
Right.
And, like, you didn't... There wasn't a ton of people there. You didn't feel like you were going to have to wait 10 minutes to get a drink. It was cool back then.
Like, you know how we went to the Uptowner for your birthday?
Uptowner. Oh, yeah.
And that felt like...
We didn't stay there that long.
No, because that felt like locals only, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But, like, so I had asked Maya, like, the bars, like, around her place...
Ooh, she gotta be careful though in them kind of places too though, just cause.
Well, she said some of them are like total like locals, you know, locals only corner pub kind of thing, and then some of them are cool. She said you see all different types of people.
Like
the Falcon Bowl, she said there's black people there, white people there, like.
I ain't even ever heard of that one.
It's a little dive place on.
I love that word. Some people don't even know what dive means.
Like, they only have like four lanes in the basement kind of thing.
What's the name of the dive? My Office?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
A dive
they
bar.
Have good food, though.
They actually do, don't they?
They have really good food.
They'll be having good ass breakfast, but a lot of people don't know they have breakfast, that they serve breakfast. I don't know if they still do, but.
Yeah.
Like, we used to go over there occasionally after when I was at Carnivore and stuff. And they used to sell Newports out that bitch, too.
Oh, yeah, I remember they sold. I don't know if they still sell cigarettes.
They do. Because every once in a while, I would run over there and get them and stuff like that. Or every once in a while, you would have, like, a customer that would come in and they'd want cigarettes. And they'd send one of us over there running. But they would throw you, like they would give you, like, a 50 and shit and tell you to go get. And you'd come back and they'd be like, keep the change. You'd have like over $30-some dollars. You'd be like, bad. Just for running across the street and getting a pack of cigarettes.
Mm. But yeah, she said some of the places are, you know, kind of like local only type.
Yeah.
Because they're really tiny.
Yeah.
But then she said, but other places it's just like, because River West is such a melting pot.
That's what I'm
of
saying.
People.
And there's always a weirdo lingering up. Like that dude that's, was that happening on the South Side? That white dude, I think he was white and something else maybe. And they found one lady dead in his house.
Oh, yeah.
He's finally in jail for, like, whatever happened. They kind of stopped talking about it. But they'll talk about Daryl Brooks all year long.
Right. But, yeah, they, like, there's some places she said that are just sketch. Weird, or like you can tell that they like, you know, sell drugs out of there or something.
I ain't gonna lie. If I was a woman, one of my fears would be being out and having someone like offering drink, you know, they and stuff like that. Because when you're out just kicking it, because like when you're at a club, like back in the day, just as men, you'll be sitting there and you'll be seeing dudes just because that's what most of us going there do is just hit on women. And you're constantly seeing them buying drinks and passing. You're seeing them pass women drinks that they literally just met. I mean, and they're cocktails. They're not bottles with caps on them, and they're not getting them from the bar. They're literally like taking them up, and they're taking them, and you're like, damn, there could be some like a date rape drug in
or
that
like
shit.
Leaving your drink on the
that
bar,
too. That
and
too.
You turn around, your back is to your drink. You don't know.
Because as men, we don't have to worry about that kind of shit.
Right.
Or I let Charlie out at 3:00 in the morning and shit. Like, I'm not worried about nobody doing nothing to me.
Right.
But like, and it's not saying that women are, because there's shit women can do that men can't do.
But women are targeted more.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? So like, if you're going out at 3:00 a.m, you're like, you're turning around, you're making sure, you're like you're slightly nervous. Slightly.
Like when
I'm just walking out there like I'm walking a dog, whatever.
When I've let him out, like later I go out front.
Yeah.
And before I even leave the locked door, I'm looking
on the super swivel.
For like, I look in the parking lot to see
around
if any
that
cars
corner
are
when
running.
You first come out. Yeah, all that.
Because you can see their lights then, you know.
Somebody try to grab you and throw you in a car, all that type of shit.
Yeah. So I always.
Yeah.
Check out the scene.
Or when you first come out the main doors, someone could be sitting on the side, like right.
Yeah, that's why I check from the locked area, because you can see at least.
You should almost just have your phone in your hand, with just kind of ready to.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, that's. Yeah, it's crazy. But there's definitely people that, because there's homeless people. And unfortunately, a lot of homeless people, they live around in like downtown areas. They'll be hanging around in downtown areas because they figure that's where a lot of people, they can ask people for stuff and.
Yeah, and I think there's more places to duck off rather than a residential area.
There's more openings.
Like
there's more places to wander in and try to.
Be under the bridge. I mean, I know that's a stereotype, but there's a bridge right there, so.
That's where you, I think that's a stereotype that's accurate though.
Right.
Because that's naturally where you're going to go if you're literally out in the elements.
Well, yeah.
And you're in a cold
covered,
weather city.
You're covered.
Like in Cali, if I ain't alive, if I was ever homeless, I try my best to get out to California or somewhere out west where at least the weather is going to be.
Where you're not going to be freezing.
Dealing with the elements. Because like, that adds,
you're
homeless and on top is 4 degrees outside.
Because then you kind of have to hope that there's room at the shelter.
And
I have heard that like you got to stand in line starting like at 3 o'clock. And then like I think they like there's a cutoff when you can
get in there. Yeah, if you're there by a certain time like. Yeah.
Then you're not allowed in.
Yeah. That's
although I think the warming shelters like when it's below zero kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of lift that because they're not going to turn
that's
people
when they
away.
Start just letting people sleep on the floor and all that shit.
Yeah.
Shit, that's how it was when I was in the county jail and shit though. My very first time ever going to jail was in the old city jail. It was right when they were like just building the county on Milwaukee County Jail. They put me in a room. It was 3 of us. The old city jail was nasty as fuck. They had a bunk bed, and then they had they called it a boat on the floor and shit. Because I was on the floor for like 2 days. Because I went there on like a Thursday night, and I got out that Monday morning. I got a PR signature bond. That was the very first time I ever fucked up. Yep, that shit was crazy. And then when I went to the county jail, like the second time I like went to jail when I fucked up on probation, that jail, it was so overcrowded then. Like I didn't realize it back then, but like they didn't even have doors on the unit I was in because they weren't finished.
Wow.
And I basically, literally, I'm not exaggerating to you. There, picture that closet without the door on it, literally off the hinges.
Right.
So someone could have like literally just went in somebody's room and beat the shit out of them and all that. Now I look back, I'm like, damn, that was unsecure as a bitch. But it lets you know how crowded they were. That they literally had to stuff people in there and
Stand
they weren't
them.
Even finished. Weren't even finished putting the doors on. Because as a matter of fact, it was pod three. It may be different now, but because pod four back in the day was the state pod. That's where they sent you, like if you came down there for court or whatever, shit. Because like in the county jail too, a lot of people may not know this, but when you go to the county jail, like they got to keep state people
separate.
Like if, because there's people that still come to the county jail. Like you could be in prison, but still be having a child support case.
So you have a hearing or something.
So you get brought from prison back down to the county jail, but they got to keep you separate because you're state property.
Right.
You're a state inmate. If you end up beating up someone that's just coming through there, you know what I'm saying? They could be sued.
And so you may be there a couple days because it's not like you have your own limousine service.
Bingo.
Back to the, you know, the.
Bingo.
It's like they got to, you have to wait till they have like a couple people to drive you back to Dodge or whatever, right?
Yeah, it is. You're dead on accurate with it.
I mean, just
that's
economics.
That's what happens, and people hate actually having to come back down to court when you're in prison, because you know that you're like, okay, I'm going to go down for this little court. I may not come back for like 4 or 5 days. If
right.
you go to court like
and
on a Thursday,
all your shit is unattended.
It's just sitting
right.
there, and you gotta hope you have a decent cell. You ain't going through your shit,
right?
Eating your food,
right? Yeah, I would be worried about that.
All that kind
like,
of stuff.
Don't touch my shit, Mom.
All that kind of stuff. That's why I was telling you why I had that one fight in the Wapong. Why I beat my cellie up in there? Dude, use my deodorant.
That's so gross.
He used my deodorant and then lied to me about it.
I mean, when
I would have bought him a deodorant.
Right, right.
I would have bought his ass one.
That's so crazy.
You know what I'm saying? But that was literally, speaking of that real quick, that was literally one of the only few fights I had out of all the jail and prison experiences. One of them was at Waupun. So Waupun is a little, you know, because...
Dicey.
Well, because you're literally locked in a room, for one thing, with a stranger. The majority of people in there are doing heavy time.
Right.
Heavy time. And it's stressful just being in a tiny...
Well, tensions are high, yeah.
It's just going to naturally happen.
Tensions
all of that
high
shit.
At all times, right?
You're in that room 23 hours a day, and the only time you move, even when I was back there in 98, I was there for 7 months at Waupun. The typical day there, if you didn't have a job when you were there, your typical day was, the only time you got out the room was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was about 15, 20 minutes apiece. Rec, which was only 3-4 days a week. Showers weren't every day. You only got showers, scheduled showers, which was different for rec, like maybe 3 days a week. They walked everyone down there like in a mass. There was a big shower hall. You shower, and you walk back to your cell. Canteen you would get let out for. They pop you out, go down there, grab your bag, make sure your little shit's in there, back up to your cell. Visits. You went to your visits. Obviously, back then, like, obviously, like, so all those things that I'm saying that you were allowed to go do, so they took those away. So in reality, we're only talking about a couple hours difference here of time you were really out your cell.
Right.
And you keep in mind, like, Waupun is a max joint. That's how time is designed there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I kind of feel like even at max joints, they should still, it should still be run like boot camp military style.
Yeah, there should always be some kind of element. You should always be working on your discipline, your attitude.
Because you're going to, so you're exhausted by the end of the day. Right?
Oh my goodness.
You have something going on every minute of the day where you're not just laying around thinking about your problems and probably getting in a bad mood about it.
I would. Right.
The place would be cleaner. People would be cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would have less health issues.
Yeah.
Because people are taking care of themselves.
Yep.
And in the meantime, you're also learning, you know, you learn probably how to respect yourself, how to respect others.
Yeah.
And just the incidence of violence might be lower.
A lot of stuff is, yeah, that's
because you don't have time, you don't have downtime probably to have beef with people or whatever, you know?
Yeah, because your attitude is just different.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And like it wouldn't be that hard because if you think about it, a lot of those COs and stuff are out of they were in the military.
Mm-hmm. Or they want to be cops.
Or they, you know, but they're into that, you know.
That's their thing. They're into that world, yeah.
And so, you know, because like a lot of people go in the military right after school, you know, they get money for college, then they become a cop.
Yeah.
Like, how many cops are like, I was in the service? So, like, it's not like you would have, you know, like, they already know how to be that way.
Yeah.
And then you'd probably have a better experience with COs, too, if, like, that behavior just is simply not tolerated. Right?
Well,
they're teaching you discipline and respect, and you're too busy during your day
Well, actually, you're teaching yourself it.
Well,
they're
yeah.
just giving you the tools.
The tools, yeah.
You just, because you got to just apply them when you get out. Because, like, I learned a lot of shit in there.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm going to have to apply this, though, to my own life. Because for one thing, I'm learning, like, this stuff that they're teaching me, these are white men that are teaching me about this. Like, our worlds are different, but I still, you can take, you get the meaning of it, and you take it, and you apply it.
Right.
Because it's still good. It's for your betterment.
I just feel like the...
Like, that discipline helped the shit out of me. Oh, my God.
The chances of reoffending would be lower.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you would be coming out, if you come out, when you come
you're
out...
You're coming out strapped up, better, ready to take on the world.
You're in better health, you're in better physical condition, you're in better mind position.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you know, like you got to position yourself, yeah.
And like your attitudes probably, but I mean not with everybody. But you know, you're gonna get something out of it.
Yeah.
Instead of just sitting there stewing in your own juices about
because there's a lot of time in prison to do that.
Right? Yeah, so like or if they had like those I know they do it in federal prisons, like they have like gardens where you're growing your own, where they grow their own food that's used in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so you have things that like, you can see your products.
Yeah, that's your accomplishment.
Yeah. Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day.
11.
All right, peace.
And if you were on the East Coast, it would be noon.
True.
And my mom said they had mimosas for breakfast.
Oh, word. It's Mother's Day. Yeah. It's somebody drinking right now. It's somebody drinking at 6, 7 in the morning, probably.
Hearing it versus making it worth it. So much pain under the surface. Betting it versus making it worth it. I changed to a whole better person. Hearing it versus making it worth it. Look.
I don't think y'all know what we doing. We just gonna keep cooking. All 2024. Full court press. I lay it down like a 3D printer. Then heat it back up like a TV dinner. It's feeling like the last days. Shit getting nasty. City is an ashtray. Been militant since last May.
This is not supposed to be positive. This music is negative because the streets are negative, you know? So in the record, you're going to hear violence. You're going to hear aggressive behavior by individuals that live that lifestyle out.
I can't explain the way the fame could change as I float lane to lane. It ain't the same. Learn to embrace the pain or just remain the blame. Let's shock the world from countertops with dust. I still can smell the bust. They not as thorough. I can't explain the rush, but for this life I lust. Fortunate I let my army matching camouflage it. Can't disguise it. I just can't explain it. No way to describe it. Keep it timeless. We was born as kings. Cruising down this boulevard of broken dreams. You keep losing hope. Feel like your soul could scream. I done seen some things that make me question life.
Do you have to smoke to be a Rasta?
No, man. But in this time, I mean, like, for instance, you're reaching a sense where you're strong enough, can take a little smoke. So when all them cara pass, although you live in the city, you don't hear it because you're thinking differently if you just live so. Then, you know what I mean, the whole world confuse you and you're worried and you don't have no time to think. And herb is a thing that give you a little time for yourself so you can live, if you use it.
What about alcohol?
Alcohol make you drunk, man. It don't make you meditate, it just make you drunk. When you drink alcohol, you don't meditate.
Oh, shit. Oh,
come
fuck, man, nigga.
Hey, yo,
snatch that gun, son.
Hurry up, nigga.
Get rid of the guns, son.
Man, you ain't
never hustle if you never sold crack. You ain't never hustle if you never sold crack. You ain't never hustle if you never sold crack. Cook it, let it bubble, that's 100 to a pack. Started off with 5, then I doubled to a stack. Found a small town, then I put it on the map. Get connects, give you plug talk, then they hit the drug lords. Down to the workers and the shooters with the snub forge. You can move the lines or I can show you how to cut raw. Turn it into crack, when you cook it, that's a drug war. Stashed in the store, but still working out the spot. Niggas served around the clock, beans swerving to the rock. While you waiting on the drop? Shit, I had to go get it. And I don't want it if it stepped on, meaning no pivot. That Pyrex vision when I'm flipping on a mission. The same way I'm spitting, ain't no competition. Niggas count cash, but they can't do division. When I started with a slab, then I turned it to a brick. Broke it down fast, had a staff in the kitchen. The fire hit the glass jar, then it's hard whipping. From the yards to the prisons, to them niggas that touched down and popped up rich, selling crack in a small town. Hey yo, that's a fact, I'm telling you, my nigga Looch just told me, it's lit. We got this shit clicking.
Hey, yo,
I'm
have
doing
that bitch
all
ready,
big
man.
Shit
got,
enough, man.
Listen,
tell that
bitch get up
and bring
tell
that
Tell that bitch get ready. Bag this shit up now. Too,
son. You ain't never hustle if you never sold crack. Cook it, let it bubble. That's 100 to a pack. Started off with 5, then I doubled to a stack. Found a small town, then I put it on the map. You ain't never hustle if you never sold crack. Cook it, let it bubble, that's 100 to a pack. Started off with 5, then I doubled to a stack. Found a small town,
I got
a snack, put it
Johnny,
on the map.
Johnny, you ain't from the hood if you never sold crack. It's fucked up, everybody I sold to, they was black. Damn. Taped it to her stomach, it was cool cause she was fat. Dogs came on a Peter Pan and she ain't even rap. You ain't from the hood if your pops ain't smoked.
Word.
Left out the cashier's check, but came in the house broke. Trying to sneak in, but everybody else woke. Eyes wide, nose a bunch of dried up coke. You ain't from the hood if you never bought a gun. Lent it out, now you mad cause you only had one.
My shit, man.
Running from the cops was risky but kinda fun. Old niggas outside smoking weed with his son.
Word.
You ain't from the hood if you never heard locks.
So that is the video I just played. That was the Oklahoma reception center deputy warden, Tasha Parker. It's a white woman too. I know the name sounds black, like it's a black woman. Cause that is, when I heard the name, I was like, dang, hope it ain't a black woman. And then I looked and saw the picture. I ain't gonna lie, I was relieved that it was a white lady. Yep. So Tasha Parker, it says, on Friday, the Oklahoma Department of Corrections officials confirmed Lexington Assessment and Reception Center Deputy Warden Tasha Parker was arrested for the introduction of contraband into a penal institution. According to the DOC, Parker was terminated from her position. ODOC officials released the following statement following Deputy Warden Tasha Parker's termination and arrest. So it says, Director Stephen Harper saying, the overwhelming majority of ODOC's employees are dedicated to our mission and vision. However, we will continue to hold accountable those who fail to protect the safety and security of Oklahomans by not following our policies or state laws, said Director Stephen Harper. Parker has been booked into the Cleveland County Detention Center. Yep, so it sounds like this white lady was bringing in dope, cell phones, and shit like that. Basically, somebody told on her. It was probably an inmate up in there that was jealous, you know what I'm saying, that he wasn't, you know what I'm saying, that she wasn't making no moves for him. That's how that'd be happening, and they end up telling. Yep, and then everyone gets popped off. That's how that happens. I can guarantee that. Yeah, that's crazy. But, hey, choices. But it just goes to show you, like, you know what I'm saying? Even in, like, the prison system, like, the corrections officers, they'll be doing some dirty stuff. It was back in, I'm actually do some digging up on that, but I know, like, when I was at RCI, at Racine Correctional Institution, this was back in the day, like, in the late 90s, there was a couple of them COs that got popped for, like, stealing people's money and shit. Like, cause you know, back in the day, like if your family came to visit you or whatever, like you could, they could bring money, you know what I'm saying, cash or whatever up there, and then they would, you know, take it in or whatever, and then give you a receipt and all that kind of stuff or whatever. And so I don't know how they were doing it, but they were like keeping, you know, some or all of people's money and shit like that, and they ended up getting popped. Yeah, I'm gonna look that up though.
But I remember that happening. So here's some crazy shit. I don't know if y'all remember this story. Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna cue this information I need so I can read this to y'all. Okay, I don't know, like, if people are that live in Milwaukee or that are from Wisconsin, y'all are familiar with ex-alderman Bob Donovan. This is white fella. He was like the alderman of the South Side and stuff for a bunch of years and shit like that. White dude, racist dude. I feel he's racist. That's my opinion. Very solid opinion. He's an asshole anyways. I just always thought it was crazy that, like, somebody could run, you know, like we're saying, like, it's fucked up, like, that how Trump's punk ass and some of these, like, lawmakers and stuff like that have been convicted of, like, crimes and stuff like that and been cited for, like, sexual assault and just, like, doing weirdo stuff, right? Like, I don't understand how Trump can even run. He shouldn't even be able to allowed to run just for all the bullshit he's done. Like, I can't even vote, man. Off a forgery charge and shit like that, because I'm still on paper and I'm doing good out here. You know what I'm saying? And I can't even vote. You got someone like that. That's crazy. But anyway, another example I wanted to show that is just like how some of these white people be doing some weirdo stuff. It says some. I was trying to find video of it. I'm going to keep searching. But, like, because it didn't get talked about a lot. You know, like, black people, we talk about it, but, like, white people, they don't want to talk about that because that's something they're embarrassed about. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so this ticket says, it says Wisconsin citation for, this is ticket, I guess that's the ticket number with, like, the red lettering, 21833. So for court use only, 2/209134. It says, okay, defendant name last, blow it up, Robert Donovan, his middle name is with a G, his G is in go, street address, I ain't gonna put his address on there, but Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53215, they got his driver's license number on here, state of Wisconsin, blah, blah, blah. Date of birth, 5/4/56. Just so y'all confirm this, him. Sex, male, white, race, 5'10", 185 pounds, brown hair, brown eyes. Defendant violated ordinance 18.06. And then they have the number 30 in parentheses. So that's what he violated. So if y'all, it's a... disorderly conduct. Yep. Description of violation. Disorderly conduct. Okay, this is from the, this is just the address on the side, like the court building and all that. So this was the date that he was cited or whatever was June 19th, 1992 at 12:55 p.m. at 3203 North Downer Avenue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the city of Milwaukee. So wherever that, I'm gonna look that address up to see what business that is or whatever it was. And his fine was $93. $93. It says deposit permitted. $93. Robert Donovan. Robert G. Donovan. He lives on the south side of Milwaukee. Like I said, I ain't gonna put his address and shit out there. But he violated 18.06 parentheses 30. That's the code he violated, the ordinance. And his description of violation is a disorderly conduct on 6/19/92 at 12:55 p.m. at 3203 North Downer Avenue, County Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee. So I want to look that place up. I heard it was in a like a bathroom at like a bar or something like that, bar or club or something like setting. Yep. Let me see what else they have on the ticket here. And then date citation issued. Yep, 6/19/92. So that was June 19th of 1992 was when he was sighted. June 19th, 1992. It's a core copy, you know what I'm saying? It's got the stamp. Oh, University of Milwaukee Department of University Police. Oh, so this happened at UWM, at UW Milwaukee. Yep, because there's a stamp, you know, the little stamp. It says University of Wisconsin Milwaukee Department of University Police, 3400 North Maryland Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53203, I believe that says, or it's either 53203 or 53202. Usually, if you're in the downtown east side area, it's either 02 or 03. But yep, and it's signed. The signature's all sloppy as hell, whoever signed it. But yep. So yep, it happened at 3203 North Downer Avenue in Milwaukee. And yep, but there's a stamp on there to, from the University of Milwaukee Police. Department of University Police, 3400 North Maryland Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yep. At 12:55, white guy Robert Donovan. Dude smokes a lot of cigarettes. Y'all think me and Michelle smoke and stuff? Y'all be hearing us, you know, with the lighter and stuff, lighting up some cigarettes and shit. That Bob Donovan, man, I heard dude to be smoking like 2 packs a day. Me and Michelle go through a pack a day together. You gotta keep them as 2 of us smoking, so that really ain't that bad. And we share our cigarettes most of the time. Wisconsin citation. It's headed Wisconsin citation for alcohol/tobacco/harassment, sporting event, safety building/drug paraphernalia, UW rules violated. So this ticket was given to him by the UW Milwaukee police, basically. And it looks like maybe he fought it or whatever. But and they charged him $93 for that. Yep, dude was peeping. He was peeping in like stalls and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Says Alderman Bob Donovan's 1992 citation for peeping. Yep, he was peeping in the bathrooms. And here, I'll just read this real quick. It says court files contradict Donovan's account of 1992 peeping ticket, because, you know, he was trying to like basically like blow it off. On Milwaukee, this is from On Milwaukee, has confirmed the existence of Alderman Bob Donovan's 1992 peeping ticket, as well as the police narrative that Donovan called a supposed police record contrary to the mayoral candidate's recent statements. Because he was running for mayor too and shit. That's why people were like, hold up, dude. How can you be running for mayor and shit and you're peeping in bathrooms and shit? Because dude's gay and shit. I'm not saying that matters, but you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, at a college campus, you're an old man too with that. So it says, Alderman Bob Donovan raised questions this week about whether a widely circulated document relating to his 24-year-old disorderly conduct citation for restroom peeping at UW-Milwaukee is real, calling the narration of the incident on a local blog a supposed document. However, after visiting the Milwaukee County Courthouse, On Milwaukee confirmed the ticket as well as a document with the narrative that Donovan called a supposed police record are both part of the official court file in this case at the courthouse. The narrative in the court file is a photocopy, not the original. UWM no longer has any documents relating to the case. I'm sure he had all that wiped clean. The police narrative has become the most controversial document, as it includes a statement attributed to Donovan, which he has disputed. It reads, Donovan stated that he has frequented Mitchell Hall restrooms for years for the purpose of either watching men masturbate or to have sex with them in the restroom. The narrative says Donovan was observed peeking through a hole the size of a nickel in a partition between 2 restroom stalls. He said he was occupying the stall that Donovan was peeking into. So this is a person, you know, telling what happened to him. Donovan did this continually for about 10 minutes, he says. And then it says, Donovan responded on Facebook, the fact is I have unequivocally maintained for 16 years that I absolutely did not make any of those comments attributed to me in the supposed document. Blah, blah, blah. But like we said, details of the citation have been circulating on the web for years. where they were posted on political website Blogging Blue, but only show a photocopy of the citation and a copy of what the blogger presents as the police narrative of the incident. Yeah, and then there's a thing here too with like a little piece of paper, and there's a staple through it. It says State of Wisconsin versus Robert G. Donovan, and it just has like all the disorderly conduct. In the 1992 court file viewed by On Milwaukee on Thursday, contained three colored carbon copies of the citation, one copy of the case record and judgment document, docket, one copy of the recognized recognizance, or whatever that says, from Milwaukee County Circuit Court, a blank copy of the I don't know how to pronounce that word, two copies of a search for Donovan's criminal history, one copy of a citation payment receipt, and a photocopy of the citation and police narrative. As to the ticket itself, Donovan wrote on his Facebook page recently to the incident in question, I was ticketed for disorderly conduct in 1992. As a result of the incident and ticketing, I was embarrassed and did not pursue the matter further. So he's admitting to it finally, like once off, like people started digging into it and finding the paperwork, then he wanted to admit to it. He said he absolutely, he says, as a result of the incident and ticketing, I was embarrassed and did not pursue the matter further. In hindsight, I absolutely should have. As it was, I paid the ticket immediately to avoid further embarrassment, and because I simply wanted to put the matter behind me. Yep, see, Donovan did not contest the citation in court. Donovan did not contest the citation in court and paid the $93 fine 2 weeks after his assigned court date. So if you didn't do that shit, why would you pay anything? If it was a dollar, if you didn't do no sick ass shit like that, you should have fought that shit. That's how you know he did do it. White pedophile. Yeah, but I'm looking at the document. Y'all can go up there and look it up. Yeah. The citation shows a disorderly conduct violation received at 12:55 p.m. on Friday, June 19, 1992 in Mitchell Hall. It is stamped by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Department of University Police with an illegible police signature. A criminal background check was also included in this file. It was conducted by Officer Peters of UWM Police at 1:19 p.m. that day. The CBIB, which is a Criminal Investigations Bureau, and the NCIC, National Criminal Record Background Check, came back clean. There are two Waukesha entries listed under the DOT traffic section. So, yep. Yep. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, so y'all can go check that out. Bob Donovan. Dude was running for mayor and shit, and dude a peeping Tom and shit. How can that happen? Cause they got it, you know, yeah, that's weird. Here's another one too that happened in Wisconsin. Like this dude was charged for this shit, but like he was found they didn't find him guilty, you know what I'm saying? I was just trying to look for they found him not guilty. I don't know if y'all are familiar with people here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin are, but Mark Chimura, dude works at like a radio station. He has like a little sports talk show or whatever. But I remember back in the day when he got caught in that bathroom with that underage girl. And he got charged for it and everything, but he got found not guilty, you know what I'm saying? Says jury finds Chimura not guilty in little more than 2 hours. So I don't know, you know, some of y'all may not be familiar with that, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, he used to be a tight end for the Green Bay Packers back in the 90s and shit when Brett Favre played and all that. And he got caught with an underage girl at like a house party or something like that, a graduation party. I got the article right here. Because it was crazy, because I remember listening to that trial on my phone when I was at the house correction and shit, when I was locked up. I remember he had that, I think it was Gerald Boyle he had. He was like the white Johnny Cochran and shit in Milwaukee and shit. He was, you know, a real good defense attorney. But I remember that because I was locked up. I remember listening to the trial. It says, this happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin. It says, jury could not decipher bathroom incident. It says, the foreman of the jury that acquitted Mark Tremura of sexually assaulting a 17-year-old girl said the football star is guilty of one thing, bad judgment. He put himself in a bad situation for being drunk with kids and in a hot tub in his underwear, foreman Brad Breitenstein said. A 38-year-old bar manager from Janesville said Sunday. But the jury disagreed with District Attorney Paul Booker's contention that Tremura went from frolicking around in wet boxers with drunken teenagers to luring the girl into a bathroom and sexually assaulting her last April 9th. I wonder what them people don't think, like his co-workers, you know what I'm saying? His people that do his radio show with him and just people that work around him. I wonder, like, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, people keep their thoughts and their comments in their head, you know what I'm saying? And it's just been so long ago and he was found not guilty. But I wonder what people think in their head, like, when they're working with him. I know they gotta be wondering. I wonder if he did sexually. I wonder, you know, because, like, anything, like, he admitted to being in the bathroom with an underage girl. So, like, either way, like, you're doing bogus shit. So, like, how, like, can they even really like him as a human being? Because they have young kids. They have, like, teenage daughters and shit. Like, I just wonder how that works. I just wonder what they think about. Like, truly. It said, Tremura was acquitted Saturday night of charges of child enticement and sexual assault that carried up to 40 years in prison. None of us believe nothing happened. We all believe something happened in there, said a 59-year-old female juror who asked that her name not be used, but we had no evidence to prove it. Breitenstein said without any DNA evidence, it was hard to prove anything. We all agree that they were in the bathroom together, but we don't really know what took place, Breitenstein said. It was like Gerald Boyle said, she got caught in the bathroom with a married man and now she's got to get out of this little predicament. Booker insisted Tremura was exposed as a man who had inappropriate sexual contact with a minor. Yeah, Booker said, insisting Tremura was exposed as a man who had inappropriate sexual contact with a minor. The evidence clearly indicates there was sexual contact, the prosecutor said. The real issue became if it was consensual or not. So dude, like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all might be working with a rapist. You know what I'm saying? That's what the prosecutor said, too. The real issue became if it was consensual or not. This is what the prosecutor is saying. I'm just reading it. I didn't do it. Don't be mad at me. Do not be mad at me. The jury found we were not able to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt, probably for a variety of reasons. At a news conference Sunday in which Boyle did not allow his client to discuss what happened at the party because of the threat of a civil lawsuit, Tremura broke down crying and apologized for disappointing his family. He ain't apologized, dude's mad he got caught. Cause just think, if none of that shit would have got found out, dude would have been in that bathroom doing whatever he was doing with that young ass girl, and then he would have went home, not told his wife about it. So that means he's probably been cheating on her. You know, with just other women. I know as a Green Bay Packer and as a professional athlete, I've disappointed many, many people. And for that, I am truly sorry, Tremura said. I promise you nothing like this will never happen again. Yeah, because they got rid of his ass. After he composed himself, Tremura said he would celebrate by going to Disney World. That might not have been a smart thing to say, considering the charge. And then he said, I'm ready to get back to work, he said. I plan on suiting up for someone next year. Yeah, the Packers got rid of him. He ended up getting traded. I'm trying to remember who he went to somebody. I don't even remember. He got traded and went to another team for like a couple years. But I think he had like fucked his neck up too a little bit, or back or something like that. Kind of like a, not the same injury, I don't know. But I remember like Sterling Sharp had fucked his neck up. That's why he had to quit. Boyle said Brett Favre and other former teammates wanted to attend the trial, but he advised against that because I didn't want any public perception that we needed these people to bring justice. Bernstein said the accuser's inconsistent testimony and surely demeanor on the stand also helped them acquit Chimura. Dang, man, that's crazy. Yeah. Chimura's accuser denied both accounts by the Star's defense witnesses. Bridenstine said that they were the juror that got the case. A secret straw poll found that there were five guilty votes on sexual assault, which carries 10 years in prison. After debate over two more polls, the vote to acquit was unanimous. Damn, so like, wait, let me read that again. It says, Bridenstine said that when the jury got the case, a secret straw poll found there were five guilty votes on sexual assault, which carries 10 years in prison. After debate and two more polls, the vote to acquit was unanimous. After a few bites of pizza, the jury quickly took up count number two, child enticement, which none of the jurors realized was by far the most serious of the two charges, carrying 30 years in prison. Two jurors who voted guilty on the first straw poll for that charge changed their votes on the second poll, he said. Both of the alternate jurors also would have voted to acquit Chimura on both counts, according to one of them, a 51-year-old mechanic from Janesville said. After the verdicts, jurors spent one last night at the hotel where they were sequestered during the 10-day trial. We went to the bar and had a couple of drinks, Bridenstine said, and we all agreed we did the right thing. Dang, that's crazy. Chimura didn't know. I'm not really sure what happened with his marriage and shit. I would assume that his wife left him. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy, though. Yeah. Yeah. White privilege. White privilege. About to go have me a little cigarette. I'll be back in a minute, y'all. Yeah, you remember that Mark Chimura stuff back in the day?
Yeah.
I was just, I don't know why I was thinking about that earlier, but I looked the story up. It was crazy because, like, there's no doubt he was in that bathroom with that young girl, but they just couldn't figure out if he raped her or if he was touching on her or if it was consensual. You know what I'm saying? But either way, he did something wrong. Either way, he was bogus.
Right.
He was a married man. Like, all of that, just, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was so much wrong with that.
Wasn't it like his neighbor's teenage daughter was having a high school party?
Yeah, it was like a graduation party or something like that.
Adults were.
So why was he even there? Why were you even there having drinks with
teenagers?
People half your age.
Right, that did not make sense to me. He shouldn't have even been there in the first place.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Like, that was your first mistake.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember they did end up getting rid of him after. They ended up getting rid of his
ass. There was, like, no other adults there. He's in a hot tub with a bunch of teenage girls.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Because didn't his wife leave him after? I'm sure. I mean, I would hope she would have.
I think so.
I mean, that's cause for... If it was an adult woman, like, but, I mean, it's even worse when it's someone that ain't even of age. And then you're drinking, like, all of that, and that's just a sign that he had been cheating on her. Even if it was with adult women, those are all signs that he's been fucking up on her.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But I was just thinking about that because, like, dude, he has a radio show and like that. I mean, he was found not guilty, so, you know, whatever. But people would be still talking about, like, OJ. Well, he was found innocent, but we know he still did it and all that. So, like, Mark Chimura was found not guilty, but I believe I don't think he raped her. I think they had sex.
Right.
They had sex and, you know, but still, that's wrong, dude. She was, what, 16, 17?
Something like that, yeah.
So either way, no matter how you cut it, you're bogus.
Right.
You're bogus. There's no not bogusness going on here. You're out of order. But they were saying, I was reading a thing, and they were just saying, like, how they couldn't, they were taking, like, different polls, the juries, And they said the first one that like five of them were wanted him to be convicted of rape. Mm-hmm. But then like they were saying that like they weren't quite sure about like which one was the more serious charge and all that kind of stuff. But he had a really good attorney. Mm-hmm.
Hmm? What did he end up getting charged with?
He ended up getting charged with... it says, the foreman of the jury that acquitted Mark Chmura of sexually assaulting a 17-year-old girl said the football star is guilty of one thing, bad judgment.
Okay, so it was sexual assault, it wasn't...
Yeah, of a minor or whatever. Basically, that... Basically, statutory rape. So the
That's
charge...
That's totally different, yeah.
Oh.
So he's just charged with sexual assault.
Right. Like, maybe they should have charged him with something different. I mean, I don't, like, and I don't know, I didn't read all the like, but the other part I was, the reason I was thinking about it too, because I was locked up at the house correction, and I remember listening to the trial on my headphones.
Oh, okay.
Because you could have, like, little walkies in there, and I remember listening to it, the trial every day, because they had it on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to it, because it was something to keep me occupied, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was crazy. Because that was the same year, that was the year that the Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl that year. I remember that because I watched the Super Bowl in there that year. It was Baltimore, who were they playing that year? Was it the, I forgot who they were playing that year, but I remember Baltimore winning that because they, Trent Dilfer was their quarterback, but they had a really good ass defense. Yeah.
You just talking shit. Man. I don't want to hear that shit.
Devin the Dude, y'all. Thanks for listening to this episode.
I'm ready to put it down. Yeah, yeah. Show you that I'm down. All right. We'll see, man. You ready for the rap, man? This ain't no game, though. Yeah, smoke some of this weed so you can feel fine. And you just might need a drink. You gotta think of a rhyme. We can make the beat slow so you can speed up the flow with some cool pimp shit about some weed or some hoes. Or suppose you do a song that you can jam with fun dances or some growing up hard shit with slim to none chances. Maybe a familiar tune people already heard. Let's call Morris, see how much you want for a bird. Fuck it, let's strictly go pop. Do anything for the women while misrepresenting your block. You can be famous in public with the right music and subject. You can make millions, nigga, if you just make a million loving. Imagine you're having world tours getting paid. Hoes throwing panties on the stage, getting laid. You don't have a Benz, but if you get on the mic and spit it, you will have enough to get it. Whatever you do, I'm with it. All you got to do is... Share your problems with the world, tell the story of your life. All you got to do is, and they'll be right by your side. Everything gon' be tight, but when you're wrong, motherfuckers gonna talk about you. When you're wrong, motherfuckers gonna criticize you. When you're wrong.